You're with Eliza Getzey.
We are on the edge and yet we're in the centre of the country.
On ABC Alice Springs and the ABC Listen app.
Are we doing enough to look after the mental health of children here in Central Australia and the Barkly? The NT in particular is notorious. There's been inquiries into the youth suicide rate. It's the worst in the world. You can't really overstate that, can you? Psychologist Dr. Tracy Westerman is a Nyamal woman from Western Australia. She started the Westerman Gillier Institute for Indigenous Mental Health with the aim of developing the next generation of Indigenous psychologists to try and tackle that horrendous statistic. And she joins me now. Good morning, Dr. Westerman.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. And good morning, Alice Springs.
Now, you're focusing on Alice Springs this year, aren't you? The Gillier Institute is offering three $50,000 scholarships for applicants. Tell me about that. How will that work?
Yeah, basically, I guess the scholarship started in frustration, and it's now become something that's incredibly optimistic, that is making a massive difference into, you know, our highest risk, which are mostly remote communities like Alice Springs. Started off with, after the inquiry in WA, into 13 deaths by suicide of beautiful young Indigenous people in the Kimberley, which has one of the highest suicide rates in the world as well. Mm. So I just decided that I'd had enough as an Indigenous person, a psychologist and someone from a remote community myself, picked up the phone and started a scholarship with my own money. So I put $50,000 of my own cash into starting a psychology scholarship program. And it's not just the cash, it's actually a program. So we actually mentor the students, they create an alliance around themselves. And essentially what we're doing is we're looking at our highest risk communities. So the Kimberley, we've now got five Indigenous future psychologists coming out of there in 3 years since the scholarship started. So our next obvious place to go to is to go to Alice Springs. What we do understand, however, is that we have to get people into psychology. Mm. We also understand that a lot of people are doing incredible work on the ground. They just don't have the letters behind the name, so they can't advocate to the extent that they would be able to and like to in terms of standing in equal power with psychologists who are often making the call on complex treatments and interventions. So the $50,000 a year tax-free essentially makes sure that people who have raised kids who have probably got massive financial barriers in front of them, that they can work basically study full-time.
And an obvious question perhaps, but why Alice Springs? How could this make a difference here?
Well, it's pretty obvious, because what's actually happening with the government is they have generationally failed to provide the complex programs into high-risk communities that are clearly needed, and communities have been desperately crying out for over decades. We've had four government inquiries into the Kimberley as an example, and we still have the highest suicide rates in the world coming out of the Kimberley. So governments love inquiries. It gives us, Aboriginal people feels if they've been heard, and everything essentially stays the same. Now, in the Kimberley, they've still got an 18-month wait list to see a psychologist. Four government inquiries all concluded the same thing, and that was that children were dying literally because of a lack of access to culturally complex services. Mm. Now, this is something that can be easily fixed, and so you can hear the frustration in my voice that what often happens is communities will get things like alcohol restrictions, communities will get things like cashless welfare cards, and governments then pat themselves on the back and go, great, we've fixed Alice Springs. And then what happens is people on the ground who are suffering from addictions, who are suffering from complex traumas, don't actually get access to the programs that every Australian has a right to.
You mentioned there 18 months wait in WA, and I know it is the same here in Central Australia. It can take, for conditions like fetal alcohol syndrome, it can take 18 months here just to get diagnosed. And of course we hear that, you know, by that time, children might already be well in the, you know, for example, the criminal justice system. And just before 8 o'clock here on ABC Alice Springs, we were hearing from the acting commander of NT Police in the Southern District, who alluded to the fact that with the raising of the age of criminal responsibility, there's still, you know, a lot to take into account in terms of a child's psychological state and their ability to tell right from wrong. So it plays into that as well, with conditions like fetal alcohol syndrome. We know here in Central Australia, organisations like Congress, it has a team of 11 people dedicated to it, but even they agree it's not nearly enough. So what are you hoping, and why would Indigenous psychologists specifically, and you mentioned culturally safe sort of approaches, how does that make a big difference, Dr. Westerman?
Oh, massively, because we actually know there's irrefutable evidence that shows that if you share culture in common with your practitioner, it improves treatment outcome monumentally. As an example, in the health dimension, we know that if you have a black doctor, it decreases infant mortality threefold. If you have an Indigenous psychologist, obviously you have to spend less time explaining your cultural reality and beliefs to an Indigenous psychologist and more time focusing on actually healing from the trauma that brought you there in the first place. Outside of that, though, the training is very mainstream. And so what I know is I worked in the child protection industry myself for 7 years. In 7 years, I didn't remove one child, and I also didn't leave a child in an abusive situation, because Aboriginal people understand how to translate mainstream theory and therapeutic interventions in a way that works for Indigenous people. So we actually are really proactive about getting in there when people are first flagged at risk. And that's where we're falling down. What's happening is people come into contact with systems, so the child protection system, and for something really minor, what we know is that 81% of Indigenous people are coming into contact with systems for neglect. Now, that's something that's a very, very on the continuum of neglect. That's actually something that's actually really low on the continuum of neglect, 81% for neglect. So what that means is that if people get that proactive opportunity to come in and deal with the issues that, you know, are actually forcing their families to be as, to struggle as much as they are, then we can actually prevent that pipeline into the justice system, into suicides and into all the other things you're saying. Mm. So it starts from the child removal stuff, but essentially what happens is they just don't have the complex, and what I'm talking about complex interventions is things like trauma, incredibly complex thing to deal with, attachment disorders when you're removed from family, incredibly complex things to deal with as a therapist. So that's the sort of stuff that if you deal with that in terms of the origin of it, then you don't have that generational impact that we're seeing. I mean, most of the statistics, when you look at them, these are the same families again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So if you look at Territory Families data, 25,500 notifications of abuse, 85% of those notifications were the same families already in the system. So if we actually geo-map data, the problem would actually be a lot more solvable than what people are giving it credit for. Mm. So what's not happening is people aren't mobilising, you know, really complex capacity into our highest risk communities and developing that generationally so people can deal with it over time.
Yeah, tackling those problems further down the line than correct. Just, you know, yeah. The end of the line. And you talked about, I mean, those statistics around, you know, if you're black and you have a black doctor, the outcomes, those numbers are really stark. I hadn't heard that before. Do you at the moment, I mean, what proportion of psychologists are Indigenous in Australia? I imagine pretty low.
It's really low because, look, we don't have, I mean, I'm a good example. I had to educate myself through distance education school, the EHA. My mum was excluded from education as an Aboriginal woman, had to go to Port Hedland Court, get citizenship of her own country. Mm. So I couldn't go home and say, hey, mum and dad, can you help me with my homework? Right. So I don't, that's what most Indigenous people face, hey? Mm. So we are facing the impacts of policies of government that excluded Indigenous people from employment, from education. We don't have those models that show us, you know, that university is normal for us. So then what that means is we don't have that financial fallback. So, you know, if we struggle or if we want to go to university, we just can't afford it because we don't have generations of families who have, you know, been able to develop wealth, pass that forward to their kids. So we have 218 Indigenous psychologists in the country registered out of 40,000 or 45,000. Now, of those, so that basically calculates 0.005% of all psychologists. That calculates to, for every 4,000 Indigenous people in critical mental health crisis, you have one Indigenous psychologist. Now, what that actually means, I mean, we've got probably that 218, you only have, I don't know, probably about 20% that actually work clinically with clients. Many of them get swallowed up into policy and lots of other positions. So it's actually a really low number.
17 away from 9 here on ABC Alice Springs. I'm speaking with Dr. Tracy Westerman, founder of the Westerman Gillier Institute for Indigenous Mental Health. And we're talking about some scholarships that are available, three $50,000 scholarships for applicants from Alice Springs to try and bring up the next generation of Indigenous psychologists. Dr. Westerman, tell me about, for anyone listening who's going, this sounds interesting, can I apply? What's the sort of criteria?
Yeah, well, the criteria is that you're basically passionate about becoming a psychologist. You want to stay, you're from Alice Springs, and we'll sort of take like surrounds, like, for example, Yindamu, you know, communities like that, that are sort of, you know, close enough within striking distance of Alice Springs. You have to want to work clinically with high risk clients, so be a real passionate, you know, future psychologist. And you also obviously want to go back to Alice Springs and practice once you're a fully fledged psychologist. So the idea is that we want to get, you know, 20 Indigenous psychologists in places like Alice Springs over time, so you have not just more capacity for complex issues, but also you can stand in equal power with people who are often making the decisions. So you can just apply, and you literally just Google Jilya, which is spelled J-I-L-Y-A, Jilya Institute, and everything will come up there, and you can just apply online. Pretty straightforward.
Okay, so there's three spots there in Alice Springs. How are applications going so far? They've been open for a week or so? Not long.
Oh, look, we've only just, my Facebook page gets a bit of a flogging, which is great. So we actually had, I think, 350 shares. Whoa. On the post that was advertised. Like, I mean, I do a lot of training around the whole of Australia, so I get a massive reach, about 6 million hits on my socials, across my socials each month. So most of the time it's just word of mouth, and, you know, people, the scholarship's now getting a really massive reputation because we've got 42 across Australia. Mm-hmm. We've had not one dropout in the whole time, and plus we're actually building the hashtag that we use, it's build an army of Indigenous psychologists, and what that means is that we've got this, and we can actually address this as together, and so we're very passionate about the consistent value base and supporting each other to do the real hard work that we need to do.
Okay, well, I look forward to meeting those scholarship winners very soon. Thanks, Dr. Westman.
Yeah, thanks for the interest, guys. Okay, take care.